So there were a couple of questions on awareness, some in the chat, some in the one submitted. Just I'll start with some of those. That came in the form, the submission yesterday. When I am aware of being aware, I feel I am a step back from my immediate direct experience. That can be one way. I mentioned that in the guided meditation. That's one way it can feel. It's not the only way it can feel. I think it's actually probably one of the first ways we really notice awareness. So, you know, as I said, awareness and the object come together. And partly because they come together, you know, and our habit is to notice the experience rather than the awareness. We don't necessarily notice the awareness itself, but then we start to recognize that there's this distinct process, there's a difference. There's the object and there's the awareness. And because the mind is noticing the difference between them, it can feel like there's a separation. So that is probably, that's often, I think, the one of the first ways that we really begin to notice awareness of awareness. That we recognize awareness itself, and it feels like there's a separation. There's the knowing and there's the experience. It's like an observer and observed. It has that sense of separation. And that can be very freeing. It can feel like, you know, there's a separation. There's a non-involvement with the experience. And then we think that that is what it means to be aware of awareness. And we may orient to that. And the way our mind works is when it has a particular view about something, it's like, oh, that's what I'm looking for. Then it tends to orient to try to find that and may miss other experiences, other things that are relevant because it's got this idea. And so part of what I'm saying right now is to try to kind of pop the bubble of those ideas. There's many different ways it can be experienced to be aware of awareness. And if you're looking for something in particular, you might not notice something else. So that sense of separation, that sense of there's awareness and the observer, that's one way that it can feel. But there's also an experience of kind of it feeling like awareness is right in the middle of the experience. And still very balanced and at ease, almost like it's just like it just knows it right from the inside. It doesn't feel like there's a separation, and yet it doesn't feel like there's reactivity either. So when I talked to Sayadaw about this, when I described to him that there were these different distinct experiences, because he had said to me, well, what is it like when there are no hindrances in the mind? And I said, well, it's got different qualities. Sometimes it kind of feels like there's this separation and there's this, you know, distance from experience. And sometimes it feels like the mind is right inside the experience, but still no reactivity. And he said that the first perspective, he said, is the mind is really noticing that the two things, the object and the awareness, are not the same thing. They're different. They're distinct. He said, in the second situation, the mind is more interested in the fact that they're happening at the same time. So it creates a kind of a different flavor to the experience based on what the mind is interested in. So it's not always the case that it feels separate So that's just one piece. Can mindfulness be defined or as equated with awareness of being aware? Again, we can, when we are mindful, when awareness is present, we may notice the awareness and we may notice the object. And so, again, I wouldn't try to create, some kind of sense of this experience, right? This is the experience I'm looking for, because the experiences are so different. I'm sure there's some I haven't found yet, that just to really just be open and curious, like, what is it like right now? Awareness is here. What is it like right now? Sometimes the attention is drawn to the object. Sometimes the attention is kind of more curious about the awareness. Sometimes it's more kind of in the middle, where it's kind of knowing both together at the same time. Then a question from, I think from the reading, Sayadaw writes, is the meditating mind, the mind that's aware, knowing superficially or knowing deeply and thoroughly? Sometimes Sayadaw will say or use the prompt, are you aware? And then he'll say, are you sure you're aware? That language for me was not useful. Maybe it's useful for some of you. I don't tend to use it because it has not been helpful for me. What I find happens when that question of, are you sure you're aware? The mind starts looking. It's like, am I sure? And it's not a helpful stance. So that particular language doesn't support my practice. And yet, Sayadaw uses it, and so I think it may be helpful for some people. So you could check it out, Are you aware? Am I sure that I'm aware? Maybe it's light for you. So this is, it's this kind of be pointing to it. Is there a kind of a superficiality? It's the, when I talked about complacency yesterday, that's really the terrain we're talking about, I think. That, the mind can be kind of more or less aware, as Joseph Goldstein says. It's kind of like, yeah, it's aware, but the attitude in the mind is kind of like, yeah, whatever, or things as they are. It's kind of got that tone to it, as opposed to, this is things as they are. So there's a the difference there, and it's just it's worth kind of being curious about that. Is there a kind of a disconnection or a disengagement in a way? Now, there can be, I mean, sometimes we think of that disengagement or disconnection as a kind of a floating or a kind of a fuzziness, and yet we can clearly be aware of floating or fuzziness. So there's a difference between floating and knowing that you're floating. So that's, and there can be a clarity to, like, yes, this is the experience of floating. This is the experience of drifting. This is the experience of fuzziness. This is the experience of fogginess. Those diffuse experiences. So I think sometimes we do need to take care with this. Is the mind knowing deeply and thoroughly? We might think that means like diving into some object and knowing something precise about it. Sometimes what thorough awareness means is really taking in this diffuse quality. Looking at the Milky Way, what does it mean to thoroughly look at the Milky Way? You might think that means like look at little pieces of it, get to know little pieces of it, but maybe it means taking it in its vastness. Something else you can learn about it, the vastness of it, the wash of it. So the language and what we think is meant by the language, it's important to recognize. So if I think deeply and thoroughly means precise, specific experience, then the mind is going to miss that there can be a thorough understanding of diffuseness. So here's another question. I'm just going to read this one. Sydow frequently says that we should not focus on the object. He also says that meditation is sharpening awareness and developing stability of the mind and wisdom. I associate a focused mind with one that has sharp awareness and stability. I understand the importance of a receptive, open awareness and having a light touch, but doesn't the sharp, stable mind move from object to object in a somewhat focused manner, responding with a light touch to whatever is unfolding in the present moment? Sometimes it's like that. Sometimes it's not. That is one way it can feel when there is a clarity of awareness. Sometimes it's very precise that the awareness does know distinct moment after moment, the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. Sometimes it's like that. If that's what we think it means to be aware and that we're going for that, we may miss that there are other ways to be aware. So I think you're getting the theme here. Yes, that is a way that what can happen as the mindfulness gets more continuous, there can be a kind of a sharp knowing moment after moment, precisely what's happening. And if you've done the Mahasi style of practice, that's the kind of awareness that is tuned in that particular style of practice. For me, this style of practice, the open awareness practice, allowed me to notice that that kind of practice is one form of many ways that we can be aware. So not to preference it or to try to look for it or go for it, because there are other ways to learn about the mind and about conditionality, about impermanent, unreliable, not self. So let's see, I will look at some of the questions in the chat. So one of them, from your talk on the distinction between awareness and objects, one doesn't lose mindfulness. Awareness, one shifts between these two types of awareness. We can lose mindfulness, absolutely. That when mindfulness goes, when we're not aware either of awareness or objects, we can lose that. But there is a sense, sometimes we have the sense that when the attention shifts from one object to another, if we have the idea that we're supposed to be like staying with one object, it feels like we're losing the mindfulness when it shifts to another object. But the shift to another object is simply a shift, and the mindfulness can shift to the new object or be in the awareness. We can know the awareness. We can know that the attention shifts to the object and be aware of that. Now that shift, and we can call that kind of the attentional shift in a way. I talked about it early on with respect to seeing, looking, hearing, listening. This also happens in terms of kind of receiving experience and knowing the object, like the awareness can shift from kind of this receptive stance to being kind of drawn to an object. Maybe while we're sitting in meditation, we're just receiving experience. And then something happens that the attention just gets fully drawn to, like the sound of a car outside or a pain in the body. And when the attention gets drawn to that, I would say that's one of the main reasons why the mind starts to wander, is that the attention has been drawn to some new object and we haven't noticed that it's been drawn to a new object. And then it starts thinking about that experience, that object, starts wondering about it, starts planning to do things with it, and we're gone. So the attention can shift and we can be aware of it. That the attention can shift either from experience, from object to object, or from awareness to object, or from object to awareness, and we can know that. Or the attention can shift and we can not be aware of that. I'd say another place or an avenue in that we may start to kind of, that the mind may start to kind of be interested in the awareness, and the attention may shift to awareness. And because we're not so familiar with it, that can also be a place that the mind wanders. if you ever have the experience of the mind kind of feeling like it's just drifting out, you know, that it didn't feel like it picked up on anything and like ran with it, but just that it just like kind of got lost into this spaciness or this vagueness or this driftiness, that can be that may be that the attention has shifted to either a more diffuse experience or has stepped back into the awareness and we're not so familiar with it. And so the attention shifting from one experience to another, that's often a place where the mind does wander. Now, so the rest of the question, when the awareness gets sucked into an object, that's awareness of the object. So if the awareness is kind of meeting the object, the word sucked in may imply in a way, you know, it's pulled in and then gets lost. If awareness orients to, I would use that word instead of sucked in. If awareness orients to an object and knows something about it, curiosity, compassion, or aversion, or a body sensation, if awareness is knows something about it, then that is awareness of the object. And then it may shift back. Then it can expand back into a diffuse, broad awareness, similar. So I think I've covered most of the points of this particular question. There's several others in here that I think I'll set aside for now. Let's see if there's other particular ones about awareness of awareness. So sometimes it feels like the awareness is diffuse. Sometimes it feels like it's in the mind a little more. And sometimes it feels like the body is the antenna for the awareness and it's a little more of diffused body sense. Any comments? I would say yes. You know, these different experiences, just curiosity about what it feels like and to not prioritize one or the other. Sometimes it can feel like, you know, and I think some of these different experiences have to do with the way perception works. So, you know, sometimes it might feel, I mean, I gave the example, for instance, that sometimes it might feel like the awareness is moving to different locations. Like if you're one thing I experienced in a one retreat, I was practicing in Hawaii, where there are a lot of birds in Hawaii. And every time a bird arose, a bird sound arose, it was almost like the mind kind of went into the area. It felt like the awareness kind of moved to where the bird was. And it, what it felt like as I watched this process was that awareness was creating the sense of space, because there was this three-dimensional kind of tapestry of sound. And so it felt like the awareness was located in different places. Other times it can feel like the awareness is just very stable and that things are kind of coming into awareness. So there's different perceptual, and those are just different perceptions. And in certain, the perceptual process can feel like it's locating experience, distance, space, time, that kind of thing. And sometimes it can be more just like it's feeling like experiences just arising here. Sometimes it can feel like the awareness is embodied. Sometimes it can feel like it's somewhere outside of us. This is kind of a perceptual recognition. And so just noticing how it's being perceived, how it is being recognized. Some of this begins, as we begin to notice these different things, we might begin to recognize the different aspects of how perception works. We haven't talked a lot about perception, but much of the time when we think about perception, we think about identifying objects, like the naming of experience. We perceive, we recognize objects in the room, person and lamp and wall and couch and carpet. We recognize things in that way based on memory, and that's perception at work. But perception also functions not just to name things, but also to recognize space, kind of the distance aspect. Time is also a perceptual kind of process. So there's different functions of perception, and the experience of awareness having a location like that, like being embodied or being vast and diffuse, kind of almost outside the body, or pervading the body and spreading outside the body, just different ways it can feel, that is perception. You know, awareness doesn't actually have a location. Perception kind of creates the sense of awareness, maybe having a location. You don't have to try to stop awareness from feeling like it has a location. It's useful for perception to do this kind of thing. So I think that these differences that you're noticing in the person in the question wrote, I think it's different perceptions around awareness. So during the sitting this morning, I was finding that it was helpful to invite the mind to become aware of awareness in order to step back from the entanglement with an emotionally charged object. Do you have any thoughts on using awareness in this way? So what I would say is if that can be very useful, and there were several questions too, some just typed to me privately, some to everyone, but several other questions about working with some challenging habits, patterns, difficulties. And it can be, you know, this can be a tool that, you know, if there's a difficulty, you can invite, can I know that this is happening? Can I be aware of the awareness of this? That can step us into I would use caution, you know, if in the question person asking this question, they found it helpful this morning that it was an invitation and that it seemed to support a stepping back from being entangled. When that's possible, use it as a tool. It can be available sometimes and not at others. If it's not available, let it go. Don't try to make it happen, or you'll probably end up with a headache like I did. But it can be available. I mean, and the more we get familiar with the experience of awareness, the more we get familiar with that, the more available it is. The more it is possible to just say, oh yeah, I can just know this is happening. I can be aware. Know the awareness of this difficulty. So I'm going to save the chat, and I think I'll this afternoon respond to some more of the questions about the difficulties that are arising. There's enough of them that have been coming up that I think I'll let that be the focus this afternoon. And then let's break the recording.